Blog Talk Radio. Well, good evening. Welcome to Setting the Record Straight. This is your program host, Brenda K. Sanders. Glad that you have joined in, if you have, joined back in to listening to the program today. Excuse me, I'm just still a little jarred from my opening there. But thank you for coming back to the program, plugging back in to listen to the program. You know, the title of this program is exactly what the content represents, and Setting the Record Straight is the title. And what does it mean? It means that I don't believe we get a fair shake in the media. I don't believe that we are able to get true reports. And most of the stories that we hear on the news, we don't. We just simply fail. And so there's something that's missing that we need to fill in the blanks on some of these stories. I get particularly upset because we don't seem to, parts of stories are missing. And being legal as I am, you know what, I want to correct something as well. 35 years of legal experience, I've been saying that I have, and that's true. 30 of it is actual experience from the time of being a licensed attorney. The rest of the few years before that is when I worked for the free legal aid clinics. I worked for two. I worked for a workman's compensation law firm. I worked for a medical malpractice law firm. So that experience compiled together, 35 years is what it is, 35 years of legal experience, of being exposed to legal things. So if you ask me about a workman's compensation case, I know a little bit about it, even though I have not practiced as a lawyer. If you ask me about a medical malpractice case, I know a little bit about it, even though I did not do a lot of extensive medical malpractice work since I've been practicing as an attorney. And some other things, you know, if you ask me about free legal aid clinic work, I've done quite a bit of it. And so Social Security Administration cases, cases like that, uncontested divorces and so forth. So I did not want to confuse you, the listener, about what my experience was. But I have had a solid 35 years of legal experience. In fact, you know, when I talk about it right now, I'm going into my 36th year of legal experience, and I've totally forgotten about it, but that is true. Well, thank you again for listening, for tuning in. But let me talk about some things. I mean, I have been surfing today, looking on the internet, and I see several stories that just seemingly upset me, just seemingly just don't sit right with me today. And I'm going back to the story. I know you think that I'm picking on Bruce Jenner. I'm not picking on Bruce Jenner. I think now he finally got that name change, last week, to Caitlyn Jenner. And I promise you that all along, though, before he got the name change, he had to transact business, walk in the bank, look like Caitlyn, and sign his name as Bruce. which I know was utterly confusing. But this is what I want to talk about. I see the story with him again today. It looks like where he lives out there in California, they have determined, the prosecutor didn't, the sheriff, who apparently investigated the case, arrived at the scene, took statements and so forth, did not make this determination, but the prosecutor's office of that jurisdiction, I want to say Santa Monica, California, made the determination that there was no cause to charge Caitlyn Jenner with any criminal charges pursuant to that accident that he had that injured eight people and killed one person. I understand the facts, and they were recited in the article, that he was pulling another vehicle on a, I guess, say, some kind of a, what do you call it, whatever the attachment is. He ran into another vehicle that caused another vehicle to move out into the intersection and get smashed. And so, therefore, and hence, a death resulted of a woman. And what I find perplexing is this is, at least in the state of Michigan, I believe even in more than the state of Michigan, and I should have looked it up in the state of California, that it's a presumption of liability, a presumption of culpability when a vehicle hits another vehicle in the back. Because the presumption is you would have been looking, you would have been looking forward, you would have been aware, and so it's a presumption. And so I don't see why charges were not filed, not even the most minuscule misdemeanor charge, which would be driving too fast for conditions. That would have been a charge that they could have charged him with. And even if he wasn't speeding, because it was raining that day, because you normally do 55 miles an hour, 55 is not appropriate under certain weather conditions, and therefore, consequently, this charge would have been appropriate. I am perplexed. I am just really perplexed why that city attorney or district attorney failed to charge Caitlyn Jenner with even the most minute misdemeanor charge, the minimal misdemeanor charge, which is akin to a traffic ticket, but, of course, like I said, with a looming civil case over their heads, they did not want to even charge him with a misdemeanor. Even in the law, there is provision for one who wants to, if they charge someone with doing a no contest plea, where no civil liability is admitted. I find that to be very strange. I don't even know. I would say it's a miscarriage of justice. I did also note in the article that the family has since brought a civil suits against Bruce Jenner or Caitlyn Jenner. See, that's the complication with allowing someone like that under these circumstances to change their name. I mean, there can be mounted all kinds of claims, defensively to defeat the civil claims even. And so I'm very appalled at that decision. Of course, we're dealing with prosecutors here. It seems like we can't get justice from prosecutors. I'm certain. I'm waiting to hear from the family of the woman that was killed in the car, what they have to say. Somehow that is always eliminated and brushed over in these news reports. You don't see one thing? So that's why I have this program, because I have done my best to research that story, and I have still yet to hear one news outlet comment on the family that was killed as a result of Bruce or Caitlyn Jenner's actions. Now, apparently, they have not deemed that he did anything wrong, even though I know presumptively. It's like strict liability, no questions asked. There's liability. But, all right, that's the first story that disturbs me today. Of course, the other story, I don't know if it bothered you, but it certainly bothered me, and that is the story of the woman that was executed last night. And also the man gets up. I somehow remember his name. But I am looking at these two cases. They are parallel in terms of it, the factual context. Both of them involve a pay-for-hire murder plot whereby both the young lady, Gassander and Gipsup, isn't that something? One in Georgia, the other one in Oklahoma, were accused by co-conspirators of planning conspiring to kill their spouses. Well, with Gipsup in Oklahoma, that was not the case. It was just another person. But, you know, I think sometimes we need a federal law to govern these cases because certainly there was an unequal application of the law, equal protection of the laws is what I want to say here. Because the woman in Georgia, under the same circumstances, she wasn't present at the scene of the crime. She did nothing to aid and abet in the crime, a commission of the crime. But she was allegedly a person who ordered it. And so she received the death penalty, while the person who actually did the murder received life in prison. What unfairness to me. And deliberately so, I believe I looked up the governor of Georgia, Keel, or whatever his name is. I shouldn't say it like that. I did look up his name, Dathan Keel. I might have that wrong. Dathan Deal. But in any event, he chose not to. All her requests for clemency and to stay the execution were denied. I mean, what's up with that? Why? This woman had an interest in this murder. But that's what I'm saying about with the Baltimore case, with the police officers. You know, once you act in concert, there is equal charging. It should be equal charges connected to all. And in Baltimore, what they did is blended the charges. Usually when parties are charged with acting in concert, like here with the Sander woman in Georgia, I mean, they all get the same charges. If one is charged with murder one, then all of them are charged with murder one. But anyway, this one was executed last night. And, I mean, here we go with injustice, unequal justice. I mean, the killer, the one that did all the killing, is alive and well and preserved from the death penalty while she suffered death. And I'm a little upset with that because the Pope, to intervene on her behalf and to save her life. To me it's so egregious that they would not spare this woman's life and grant her a second chance. Now, conversely, in the Oklahoma case where this Gipsup guy, I always seem to remember his name, he is also in the same position as this Gassander lady in Georgia. But the governor of that state granted a stay of his execution for 37 days, I think it is, to review again the problems, I believe, with the drugs that's used to implement the lethal injection. Very much considered his life and considered how it would be the execution would be carried out and delay the execution. Well, thank goodness. I mean, if Pope Francis, just a human being, he's not God, but Pope Francis, a very gracious plea on his behalf, if that government there did not listen to that, I mean, no one can be spared in that state, in the state of Georgia. I mean, that was just as cold-blooded as it can be. And then you have a woman, and then we have a man who's like being spared, which I'm against the death penalty, clearly. And so I believe the governor of Oklahoma did the right thing. And, I mean, the Pope was here in America. And I believe that he espoused the negative points for allowing the death penalty to remain in place in this country. And I believe the discrepancies in the law from state to state are problematic as well. We have almost identical factual context in these two cases, and yet one dies and one does not. And I think that needs to be addressed and maybe corrected by our Congress. Certainly, to me, was an injustice based on this woman's, based on her story. And maybe I believe they should have commuted a sentence to life in prison. She's the only one on death row in Georgia. And why not? Were you so angry with the Pope that you could not allow further investigation in her case for 37 days like the governor in Oklahoma? Nathan Deal is his name. I think I was a little confused at first. But anyway, those are disturbing stories. I mean, I for one, being a judge, a former judge and an attorney, I am so disgusted with this criminal justice system that we have. It just seems to never do the right thing. Well, in Oklahoma, they did. That governor did at least halt the investigation long enough to see if there were other legal issues that could be addressed with respect, I believe, to the case itself, as well as the actual procedure of executing Mr. Gissom. And that's the way it should be when they are certainly a life at stake. All measures should be taken to make sure that this is fair and that it is just. Even though, pursuant to Pope Francis, and I agree, I wouldn't allow the testimony of a lone person without supporting evidence to support a death penalty execution. It's just too tenuous, in my opinion. But that is what has happened today. I don't know if you were looking on the news and saw it like me. But we should continue to look at these cases because, I mean, they're not going to stop. It looks like there has to be a lot of work that has to be done before our criminal justice system is going to be reformed. I mean, it looks like there are those who have actual economic, financial interest in filling the prisons up. And so that's a conflict of interest when we have those kinds of issues looming over the criminal justice system. Well, that's my program for today. Thank you for listening to the program. You may go to blogtalkradio.com/SettingTheRecordStraight2015 if you wish to listen to this episode again or even one of the other episodes. And since I've been broadcasting, I have touched on several facets of my own case of injustice as a judge, as well as just different news articles that I believe would be of interest in terms of setting the record straight to the listener. So feel free to visit the website and you can hear any one of those episodes at the end. Well, thank you again for listening to the broadcast. Have a very blessed evening. Talk to you next time.